Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:08 in that Pacific Standard Time. And today we've had a lot of different news items, and you had Janet Yellen talking, and what she really had to say was that yes, the Fed is beginning to pull back from its prognostication that it was going to raise interest rates four times this year. Well, the bond market has never had any credence in that. They never really thought that the Fed was going to raise interest rates four times this year, and not least because the Fed is doing it on its own. And if the Fed were to raise interest rates four times this year, the dollar would rally so much that it would act as really quite a considerable headwind to the prospects for the US economy. So throwing a little bit of doubt on that while still saying that they do plan to raise interest rates and normalize, generally speaking, get back towards an area where they think that the US market should be, poured cold water on the US dollar in here today. And that is particularly true against the yen. And the yen has now broken out against the dollar. And that's perhaps the most important thing that happened in here today. The yen was stronger by 1.75 yen against the dollar, and it's trading right now at 113.37. And this is a big question: is the Bank of Japan going to intervene to peg back the strength of the currency? There's a lot of people think that they probably will. There is an additional aspect to this, though, and that is that the yen has been the carry trade currency of choice because interest rates have been low, and there's been a concerted effort by the Bank of Japan and indeed the government to devalue the currency. So you could borrow in yen, you could invest overseas at a higher yield, and then you could pay back those yen in a currency which depreciated. And that's no longer the case, because this is a powerful rally now by the yen, and that means they will be putting pressure on carry trades. And I suspect that that is the reason why the rally on Wall Street today was pegged back. And as we right at the close now, the S&P is down just a tiny bit on the day, but it had been up by approximately 1% earlier on, and the Dow is down about 100 points, which is about 0.67%. Then what we can say is that this is still a corrective phase, and if we look short-term, medium-term, long-term, then perhaps we do that in reverse order. And long-term, the S&P 500 broke out of a 12-year range and rallied very impressively and very consistently until the beginning of last year. They lost momentum, and now it's back pretty much where it was trading in September of 2014. So short term, there's a short term oversold condition. Medium term, this looks like an overhead top formation, and it's still a bearish looking pattern. And long term, then this looks like the first big consolidation in what still has the makings of a secular bull market. But we will need to see the medium term picture improve before we'll have a real signal that the low is in, the valuations have contracted about as much as they're going to, and that then this normalization of interest rates is something that is a hump over which the market has to get before we can really see evidence that this is that a secular bull market can really take off. And the divergence then between the USA and just about everywhere else was very clear in what Janet Yellen was saying today. Because she was asked questions about whether the Fed had done the due diligence on negative interest rates. And that's very important, because I posted this report yesterday from the IMF, where they go through the mechanics of what could be involved in a negative interest rate environment. And then perhaps a more salient point is that particularly relevant to the US right now when they're talking about raising interest rates? No, not at all. But it is highly relevant for Europe, it's relevant for Japan, it's relevant for China, and there's a host of other countries that have had to cut interest rates. So yes, this is very, very important, because gold was up another $7.50 in here today, and it's edging back up towards this $1,200 level. Well, it's broken its progression of lower rally highs. It's back above the 200-day moving average. And an increasing number of central banks globally are beginning to consider that they might move into a negative interest rate environment. Well, we already have it in Europe because at the discount window you've got a negative rate, but we don't have negative interest rates. And with $7 trillion in negative yielding bonds globally, well, you know, this isn't a new story. And we've had emails from subscribers asking whether central banks have lost their teeth. And of course, you know, that, I think that it kind of sidesteps the question. Because with a central bank, it is only a question of how committed they are to their policy. They have control over the spigot, and they can print literally as much money as they like. There is no natural limit, because they can just keep adding zeros. Now, perhaps a more important question is, what evidence do we have from quantitative easing? It is that quantitative easing doesn't do much for economic growth, but it has been wonderful for inflating asset prices. And that's as true of stocks as it is of bonds, as it is of property. And if we are at a point where perhaps the Fed is not the central bank that is going to be leading the charge in terms of additional monetary stimulus, but it will be other central banks, then the question then is, should we expect asset price inflation elsewhere? Well, nowhere else has got the kind of highly developed and the integrity of various parts of the financial system that the USA does. And we're still in this environment where we're in a deleveraging process. And certainly the strength of the yen is really not great news. And we're going to have to see pretty concerted efforts by the Bank of Japan to intervene here, because this is really quite strong. Now, the Nikkei has broken down. And on the futures market right now, it's up about 1.25%. But then, considering how much it has fallen over the last couple of days, that can only be considered just short-term steadying. In here today, the Italian market was stronger by over 5%, and it's down about 30% over the last 3 or 4 months, and it's been led lower by the banking sector. Now, the issues that have been facing Deutsche Bank, and you know they have to have problems when the finance minister from Germany has to come out and say that he has absolute confidence in the lender, then you know there must be a problem. Well, Deutsche Bank today said that they were going to start buying back their own bonds, and that will help to calm markets. So we had a number of European banks today that were up in double digits, particularly the Italian banks, because that really is where they've had problems before these issues arose with Deutsche Bank. So there is a short-term oversold condition, and there is potential that we're going to see an additional move here, and not least because it is in Europe that we have a central bank that is absolutely committed to maintaining its own existence, that if the ECB doesn't do everything that's in its power to retain the integrity of the financial system and the integrity of the currency, well, then it would cease to exist. And you've never seen a bureaucrat that would vote to get rid of their own job. So the ECB has got ample firepower, and so does the Bank of Japan. And China's closed right now, but Hong Kong is going to open tomorrow. The mainland market won't open until Monday, and Hong Kong has perhaps the cheapest stock market in the world on a PE basis. And we're at a point now with the 8-share index where the yield is not quite higher than the PE, but it's really not far off either. And well, we'll see, because obviously we've had this volatility in stock markets over the last 3 or 4 days, and then what are investors going to do when China opens up? And we can anticipate that there is going to be some volatility in here. Well, a lot of Asia was reasonably quiet, and the Australian market is worthy of mention because the banking sector broke downwards yesterday. And, that's extending a downtrend that's been in evidence now for a year. And it's encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average twice. And this is important because a lot of Australian investors have been heavily overweight in the banking sector because it was one of the only sectors that was still paying a yield and you could get full franking on those dividends. So this isn't a particularly benign environment. And obviously, Australia is responding both to the weakness in China and the weakness in oil and energy commodities more generally, and indeed iron ore, then it really will need to break that progression of lower rally highs to suggest that this isn't, to indicate that demand is returning to dominance in here, because we have a high degree of commonality in banking sectors, and certainly they're oversold right now. So, I mean, there is the potential that we're going to get some steadying in here, and that's particularly the case in Europe, and it's also the case in the USA, where the banks have really pulled back. Well, what that tells us is that the burden of regulation and the fact that people are hoarding their money and they're not spending, well, that's not great news for banks. And the burden of regulation and their inability to raise dividends because they've had to hire so many additional compliance people is really a headwind for their business models. But the problem for the wider market is that, is it good news that banks have to be a bit more prudent and really have to look at how they're controlling their businesses? Well, yes, absolutely it is. But a bull market thrives on liquidity. And if banks aren't lending and there isn't a vibrant market for lending from the banking sector, then where is the liquidity going to come from to really ignite bullish interest? And again, this is something that represents a headwind. So when we go back and we just simply look at the charts, then gold continues to look constructive, and the dollar is unwinding what was really a very impressive overbought condition. But we can anticipate in the currency markets that there's going to be just incredible volatility. And then you look at the bond markets, and yields have paused in much the same way that stock markets have paused. But the long bond today was stronger by an additional point and a half, just about. And it's up to 167, and that's for a bond that would mature at par. So this is pricing in, really quite a lot of risk. So yeah, this is still a bear market environment, and it's not over yet. We can compare it to 2011 in terms of the volatility, and we can compare it to 2010 in terms of the response following the flash crash. And what we had in August was a flash crash, and it was the catalyst to change sentiment that a lot of people got stopped out, and they were quite obviously not being encouraged to get back into the market. And I posted this Excel sheet yesterday highlighting companies that have got reasonable value and basing that on their earnings yield and on their EPS and what their EPS is expected to grow at next year. But while the fundamentals are reasonable, by and large, the chart patterns are, there is scant evidence that we have base formation development or support building just yet. And it means that valuations might be attractive, but that they could get more attractive. And but it is a good time to start thinking about what it is one might begin to start buying when the dust settles, because there is no corrective phase that doesn't eventually give way to a bull market somewhere. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.